If you will turn your Bibles to a familiar passage of scripture, in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, the writer, the Apostle John, who was a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, tells about an event of Jesus yet raising another man from the dead. It is a familiar story because it is the story of a man called Lazarus. John chapter 11 records what happens when Lazarus becomes sick. His family, his sisters, send word to Jesus that he is sick. Jesus' response to their message, and then finally, his dealing with the outcome of his not being there. All of John 11 speaks to this story about Jesus being involved in this event. I want to read several verses for us so that we have kind of that context that we are working with. And then I want to walk through and identify some observations, some things that Jesus said along the way. Most importantly, things he did. And then its implication to you and to me. As we move toward Easter Sunday, our Resurrection Sunday, we've been talking about, or we began last week talking about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Because it's important for you and me to know that the God that we serve has power. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Because if we don't realize that, the stuff that we experience in this life can cause us to sometimes be depressed and to lose hope. I love Pastor Carol's testimony as she began to sing. She said, "I never lost my hope." Then she said she never lost what?
My joy.
My joy. She had that in the midst of what she was going through. She never lost her faith, believing that God was able to deliver, even though she's in the middle of it. Still, that's what faith is, right?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then she said at the end, but most of all, I never lost my praise. Beautiful testimony, because you and I need to know that we need to have a praise when we're going through whatever it is we're going through. Because you and I are on display. And in the process of being on display, that means that there are those who are watching you. There are those that you see watching you. And then there are those that you can't see watching you. Amen. There's an unseen world that's watching you. And you're on display. You need to be, no matter what you're going through, to have it made up in your mind that you will trust God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
To have it made up in your mind that no matter what you're going through, that you will not lose your hope, your faith, and your trust in God. And if you say that, then you got to live and act like you believe that. What you believe in your heart, what you express with your mouth, what you do, they ought to line up so that there is no dichotomy. A duplicitous person, an unstable person, a double-minded person cannot and should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You need to be rooted in your confidence that God is able. Then you gotta be willing to wait on his timing.
Amen.
You know that song we like to sing, he may not come when we won't. Here's that word, but he's always, always on time. And so you got to learn how to trust his timing and to bring your thinking and all of that into compliance with that, right? Which means that he may not have come yet, but I will yet trust him.
Yes.
He may not have delivered yet, but I will yet praise him. You got to bring it into alignment. Because what you said is, I will trust the Lord. I will trust him. Because he is faithful. He is dependable. He is not a man that he should lie. And everything that he has declared, he has the power to back it. Because he watches over his word to perform it. He never sends out a message that he can't deliver on or fulfill. Why? Because he's God. God who? He is the God who created the heavens and the earth. He's the God who stepped out into nothingness and said, let there be. And when he started to talk, stuff started to show up. Let there be light, and light came. Because when he talks, when he speaks, what he is talking to responds. Amen? So you and I got to be rooted in our confidence. God is able to deliver. No matter how long I may have to suffer, God is able to deliver. In John chapter 11, let's pick up with verse number 33. Excuse me. Verse number 32. Just to catch you up, Jesus, this man Lazarus has died. Lazarus has two sisters, Mary and Martha. The two sisters are grieving the loss of their brother. They had the funeral, and he has been buried in a tomb or a cave. Wasn't buried in the graves the way we think about them. He wasn't 6 feet under. He was placed in a cave, and then a stone was rolled in front of the cave. Lazarus has died. And now Jesus has left the place where he was, and he has gone to this village, Bethany, where they are. That's where Lazarus lived. It was a place called Bethany. Jesus is on his way to see the family now. And as Jesus is on the way to see the family, somehow one of the sisters gets the message that Jesus is on his way. That's the sister Martha. Martha jumps up from where she was and she goes out to meet Jesus while he is on his way. So he never makes it into the village where they are. He doesn't make it to the house where they are because she comes out to meet him. When she comes out to meet him, she says to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She acknowledges that Jesus has the power to deal with whatever sickness that her brother was dealing with. She affirms that to him and said, if you had been here, he would not have died. Jesus responds to her, he talks to her, he dialogues with her, because remember, Jesus is a compassionate God. Remember, he is the image of the invisible God.
So he has all the attributes of the living God. And he says that if you want to know what God is like, just look at me. Jesus is compassion. He doesn't look at her as she is going through her grief and say to her, stop grieving. He's compassion. That's the kind of God you and I serve. He's a compassionate God. He understands that we are flesh. He understands that we are weak. And therefore, when we are going through whatever it is that we're going through, he's normally compassionate with us. And he leads us with compassion. Jesus says to Martha that her brother will rise again. She says, yes, I know, in the last day. That was an opportunity for Jesus to say to her, and she said, in the last day, at the resurrection. That was a good time for Jesus to say to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says to her, do you believe me? She said, yeah, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you are the Messiah, that you are the one that was sent. I believe. One of those places where what she believes has not quite caught up with what Jesus is talking about. Amen? But Jesus is patient. Don't you love that about him? He's patient. He's patient with us. He's given her just enough for her to have some hope. Don't you love how Jesus took her in her moment of grief and in his compassion, he gave her some comfort. She expressed what she believed. Yes, I know I'll see my brother again in the last day at the resurrection. I know that he'll rise then. Jesus said, I am the resurrection.
Amen.
Suddenly, Jesus takes her mind off of her brother and puts it on him. Did you pick that up? The way you give people comfort is after you hear them, right? What you got to do is move them from a place of focusing on them to focusing on him.
Yes.
Because it is the mind that stays upon him that's what? In perfect peace. It is his word that has power. It is his truth that has power. It is when you declare his word that he shows up and the Spirit of God acts upon his word. So as you are listening, you're listening to the Spirit of God to anoint your tongue with grace and truth so that you have the right words to calm the soothing heart. So that you can speak to that troubled heart with the word of God, with compassion. And give them hope. Well, Martha runs back home and says to Sister Mary, the teacher is here and he wants to see you. Mary then leaves where she is and she runs out to meet Jesus. Jesus is now, he stood still. He's not going any farther. He's waiting right where Martha met him. She leaves and go gets Mary. Mary then comes back to where Jesus is, but Jesus still didn't move.
Wow.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Isn't that good? You can find him right where he's supposed to be. Yeah. Isn't that good?
Amen.
You heard the expression when people are going through difficult times, hard things are happening, and they always ask the question, where was God? Where he's always been. Huh? He's still sitting on his throne. He's still in control. He's right where he said he would be. Amen? So Mary then leaves and she comes out to meet Jesus, and it's amazing. And when she gets to him, she says the very same thing that her sister says to him. Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Mm-hmm. Well, you heard Jesus' response to the older sister, Martha. You would think that Jesus would repeat himself again, but he doesn't. Oh, I'm loving this. As you read this story, and by the way, you got to go back and read John 11. Read it all. I'm loving how Jesus meets each one of them right where they are and deals with them according to their personality. Deals with them according to their faith. He deals with them according to who they are. Amen? And so he doesn't give her the same response that he gives to Martha. Instead, he does something different. So it is. Verse 32, let's pick up there. It says, when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger, reading from the New Living Translation, it says a deep anger welled up within him. Some versions will say he was troubled. He was moved in his spirit. This translation says he was a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. And then Jesus asks, where have you put him? They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. Remember this compassionate God that we've been talking about? He's weeping now. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him? But some said, this man healed a blind man. Could he have kept Lazarus from dying? They're saying the same thing that the sisters have said. Remember, the sisters said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They're saying, he healed a blind man. Surely he could have took care of whatever it was that had Lazarus sick. So they're saying the same thing. And then, verse 38, Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across his entrance. Again, some versions will say he was troubled in his spirit as he arrived at the tomb. So whatever it was that disturbed Jesus in his transaction with Mary still has him at that place of being bothered. Remember, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And wherever Jesus would see the work of the enemy, wherever he would see it prevailing, that bothered him. That troubled him. Because that's why he came. And so, verse 39, roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. Ooh, that smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, did I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. And then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, yes. Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands, feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told him, unwrap him and let him go. Unwrap him and let him go. If you can bear with me for just a few more minutes, I just want to talk about unwrapped and set free. This then is the last sign that Jesus displays to show the people who he is. before he is crucified and raised from the dead. Remember John's writing. John writes, it is recorded in John chapter 20, verse 35, that John writes so that people will believe. He said Jesus did many, many, many miracles. He had many. He said, but these have been captured, these signs that he has recorded in the Gospel of John. He said, these have been recorded so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, and so by so believing that you might have life. His sole purpose was to convince them, his readers, that Jesus was the, is the Son of God. Why? Because you cannot have life without Jesus.
That's right.
And so he is like, I need to give you the evidence, understand it. And so he begins to record specific miracles that Jesus performed, and he called them signs. You remember the first one he performs, he is at a wedding. And at this wedding, they run out of wine for the guests. And Jesus' mother tells the servants, do whatever it is he tells you to do. Jesus then tells those servants, because there are some jugs, some jars that they use for ceremonial cleaning that were there. Jesus said to them, fill these up with water. And because they obeyed him, because they did not question him, because they did not begin to explain to him the wine-making process, they got a chance to see a miracle. Because they did not begin to explain to him that you can't get wine from water, they got a miracle. Because it was Jesus about to display for the first time who he is and what he had come to do. He was demonstrating that there was nothing that was too hard or too difficult for him. Why? Because he is God.
Yes.
He had come among men that he might save all of mankind. But he had to do some works so that they could believe that he was who he said he was, that he was who John the Baptist had proclaimed him to be. And so he began to demonstrate his power. Taking and doing something that is totally unexpected, unheard of, impossible, he does it with ease. You know the story. After they had filled the jars with water, he simply said, take some of this to the headmaster. And when he took it, he drank of it and said, oh my. This is a good drink right there. And so much so that he kind of changed the tradition, because he says normally the host normally would give the best first. And then after everybody has had enough to drink and they sloppy, he says then you bring out the cheap stuff. He says, but you have brought out the best. Well, last, it's a reminder to you and me that, listen, life before Christ, no matter how good it was, it can't compare to life after Christ. Because after Christ, he saved the best for last. That's why you can say my latter years will be better than. See, that's why it doesn't matter how you age, as long as you age in Christ.
Yeah.
Woo!
Go ahead, man.
You just keep getting better.
Yeah.
You just keep getting better. Oh, some things may be different, but don't get it twisted. Don't get it wrong. It's different, but it's better.
Yeah.
It's better. Because in him, he saves what?
The best.
The last. And so John begins there talking about these signs, but then here in the story with Lazarus, it becomes this thing that he highlights, because Jesus has demonstrated he has power over nature. He has power over sickness. He has power over demons. We said last week, Jesus is Lord of all. There was no sickness that he confronted that he could not deal with. He addressed it all because he was an all-powerful God. So from natural, changing water to wine, to raising the dead, to making lame legs walk again, to opening blind eyes, allowing them to see again, Jesus has been demonstrating that there is nothing that is too hard for him. From dealing with the weather, you remember him and his disciples are out on the sea and a storm is raging, and he says, "What? Peace. Be still." Because even the wind obeys him. And Jesus now, his final demonstration of who he is, comes to this moment and says to this man, "Get up. Come out." And he obeys. And then at Jesus' command, he says, "Unwrap. Remove those grave clothes. Take them off. Unwrap him and set him free." So you have all of these events that are happening in the midst of this, and Jesus again is revealing who he is. Real quickly, if you have your Bible, you have your app open, stay with me in chapter 11 for just a moment, because there are some important things that I want you to see. That Jesus is not surprised by anything that happens, right? So, Lazarus becomes sick. A message is sent to Jesus that Lazarus is sick. We're also told that Jesus loved Lazarus, he loved Mary, and he loved Martha. However, when Jesus receives the word that Lazarus is sick, it says that Jesus didn't jump up to go and take care of the need. It says he stays where he was for two more days. It's a quick reminder for you and me that don't allow the delay of what you think is a delay in your life. Don't make it think that you think that God does not love you. The delays in your life are not a reflection of God's love for you. Oh, you need to get that in your spirit. Because it will change the way you think, it will change the way you talk, it will change what you do. Because when you start to realize that his delays are not a reflection of his love for you, then you'll stop talking about, "God, do you love me?" And what you will do is you'll start thanking God for loving you. Loving you enough that while you're in the way, he's providing you with the grace to keep you. See, that's what you would do is that when you know that you are loved, it changes the way you process what is going on in your experience. And you know that he's going to come through. Yeah. You know that he loves you, and what's going on won't change that. Amen? Yeah. He finds out that his friend is sick. He loves him, but he doesn't move. But what I want to bring your attention to is verse number 4. What Jesus says. He says that this sickness that Lazarus has experienced will not end in death. He says, no, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. Amen? So that says that Lazarus' sickness is going to lead to or point to the glory of God. Lazarus is experiencing sickness, and God is going to get glory out of it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. I don't even have to say it anymore. But sometimes what you're going through, what the devil meant for evil, God will use for good. If you just keep trusting him and waiting on him, let him use your experience to bring glory to him. So, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Wait on it. Wait on it. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, this will not end in death, but yet it will bring glory to God. Remember, when Jesus speaks a thing, it comes to pass.
Yes.
Go to verse number 11. Because it's something else that Jesus says. Because Jesus starts to have a dialogue with his disciples, those who are following him, and he says that, listen, Lazarus is asleep. And they think that you know what Jesus is talking about, real sleep, you know, because he's sick. And they say, well, if he sleeps, then he's gonna get better. So Jesus says, no, you don't understand. Lazarus is actually dead. He says, I am going there to wake him. Look at it in verse number 11. He says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. Jesus had in his mind, when he left where he was, headed toward Bethany, that he was going to wake Lazarus up. Makes you wonder, well, why you get so mad, Jesus, when you show up at the grave, if you know you're going to do this, why you get so mad? Again, you got to realize that when you are messed with, Jesus gets mad about it. That ought to make somebody happy.
Yeah.
He knows what he's going to do, but he's still getting mad that all of this stuff is going on in the meantime. Gets upset about it. It's almost like he has a resolve now because he's emotionally caught up in it that he's going to fix this problem. That's good news. That he is not a God who is this far removed from you and me, but he is personally involved, intimately involved with us. So much so that he feels with us. Look at verse number 15. So I may as well read 14 and 15, right? He says, so he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now, you will really believe. So Jesus is saying to them, you know, if I had been there, you're right, you know what would have happened. I would have stopped it right there. You would have missed what's about to happen. But I'm glad that the Father told me not yet. I'm glad that the Father told me just wait. I'm glad. Because now when you see this, you won't help but believe. You won't have no other choice.
Amen.
If all the other stuff that I've done hadn't convinced you, oh, this one right here will settle it and you will believe. And so he says, come, let's go see him. And so they began to go and make their journey there. Told you about Martha and her conversation with him. It was in verse 23, Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. And then in verse 25, these are important verses because these are things that Jesus has said. He declares to her, I am the resurrection and the life, and anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. And everyone who lives in me and who lives in me and believes in me will never ever die. Well, he says he's the resurrection and the life. Jesus establishes this truth for them then to operate on and to stand on. He says again to Martha that if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And as you know, when they arrive at the tomb, you remember what happens. Jesus says, roll the stone away. When the stone is rolled away, Jesus calls out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man rises. How many days has he been dead? He's been in the tomb how many days?
4 days.
He dead. He did. No question about it. So much so that when he says, roll the stone away, the sister said, wait, hold on. You know he's been there. You know what happened to dead bodies. You know, decay and smell comes. You sure you want to do that? Jesus said, again, wait a minute, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Say that.
You need to be like them folks when I told them to go get water. Don't worry about the process. Just worry about who's telling you to do it.
Wow.
Because when you obey me, right, I overcome the natural.
Yes.
And I do the supernatural.
All right.
You remember when he called out, he said, Lazarus, come out, and the dead man got up and came out with his grave clothes on. Mm-hmm. He said, unwrap him. Let him go. Here's the thing I want you to remember. The resurrection power of Jesus demands that those who respond in obedience to his call be unwrapped and set free. That's his resurrection power. It's a demand that when you respond to the call of Jesus, when you respond to the call of God, his demand is that you be unwrapped and set free. Wait, what does it mean to be unwrapped? To unwrap means the taking off of or the unwrapping. We're told that Lazarus had on grave clothes. It was very specific in terms of what that unwrapping looks like, right? So they are taking the strips of linen off of him, those things that they had wrapped the spices in. They were taking all of that stuff off of him because while he is wrapped up, he is not functional. Amen? He's got a gray cloth wrapped around his face, his head. That means that even as he is coming out, right? You ever wonder why when they have those mummies in the shows, that why they have their hand stuck out? Well, one, they got them all wrapped up. It's kind of hard to bend. But remember, you can't see.
Yeah.
Right? And so he is coming out. He's wrapped up, and he's non-functional. Why? Because he's been dead. Dead things don't function. Amen? A dead battery in your car don't function. Amen? You can turn the ignition or push the button as many times as you want to. It's dead. It ain't gonna work. Right? So he's first removing the coverings that are symbols of death. So he says, unwrap him and let him go. Unwrap him and let him go. See, this is a picture for you and me that I talked about our before Christ life. Because before you come to Christ, you are dead in your transgressions, in your sins. You might be doing some stuff, but you ain't really functioning. Amen? You're not functioning in the manner in which you were designed to function because you are the workmanship of God, created to do good works in Christ Jesus, which God created in advance for you to do. And before him, you are not able to do what he has called you to do. You may be doing some things, but you're not functioning in the manner that he designed you to do. And so when you come to him, he demands that you be unwrapped and set free so that you can begin to walk in the manner in which he created you to walk. Amen. He demands that you be set free so that now you can become a woman of God, so that now you can become a man of God. You're not just a male or a female, you are now a man or woman of God, and you are expressing God's glory through your life because you are now representing him. He says, unwrap your old way of thinking so that you can now live like me.
Yeah.
That's why you need to be renewed in your mind, because you've been wrapped up with the ways of this world. And when you're wrapped up with the ways of this world, you can no longer figure out what his good and perfect will is. So he says, when you come to him, unwrap him.
All right. Yeah.
And set him free.
Yeah.
So that he can do my bidding. Amen?
Yeah.
So first of all, you and I are unwrapped and set free so that we can bring glory to God. Remember what it said, that this sickness will not end in death. He said, but this is so that the Son of God can be glorified. Now, when he is raised from the dead, he is unwrapped so that now he can function and everybody will know about what went down with Lazarus, because this word spread far and wide. This man who Jesus loved died. Jesus showed up, called him from the tomb, he got up, and he's alive. As a matter of fact, they even threw a banquet in honor of Jesus to celebrate what had happened. And Lazarus is sitting around telling everybody, yep, I was dead. Oh, hey. And his sisters were there to testify to that truth. Because now he's been raised up, not for his own benefit, not for his own glory, but so that he can become a witness to the power of God. And brothers and sisters, you and I are unwrapped. God's power is being manifested on our lives so that we can become a witness and a testimony for God. It's not about how strong we are, not about how powerful we are, not about our great faith. It's about God. When we begin to tell others about what we've been through and how he has delivered us, we talk less about us and we talk more about him. Let me tell you about this God who is able to deliver. How do I know? Because I experienced this, and I'm here to tell you that he can do it. And when he comes into your circumstance and he delivers you, it is so that he can be glorified. It is so that you can bring glory to him. Because your life is meant to bring glory to God. That's why when the troubles that come your way, don't worry. If you will trust him, he will use your troubles to bring glory and honor to his name. Amen? You just got to keep trusting him. Second, you and I are unwrapped and set free to be overcomers. Amen? Amen. We are, all of that dead stuff is removed off of us at the call of Jesus Christ so that we can be victorious, so that we can be overcomers. Why? Because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And that means that everything that the enemy of God comes to press in your life, comes to set you off God's path, Jesus has come to destroy. He has come so that you will be an overcomer. Listen, he says that the one who is in you, that's the Spirit of the living God, is greater than the one who is in the world. That's why you overcome. Jesus said, you got to unwrap the old stuff. You got to be set free so that you can be an overcomer. And he said there's only one kind of person that overcomes the world, and that is the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Why is that? Because your belief in the Son of God allows you to see the glory of God and allows you to be victorious in every situation. Why is that? Because when you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, he allows his Spirit to come and dwell in you. And as his Spirit is dwelling in you, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now at work in you. And if that thing couldn't hold Jesus down when the Spirit of God got up in him, what can hold you down? That's why you need to know that you are unwrapped and set free to become an overcomer. That's why it needs to be in your mouth. I am victorious. I will be an overcomer. He has set me free. By his stripes, I'm healed and made alive.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Mm.
Yes, sir.
And so he says, unwrap him and set him free to be an overcomer. Here's the third one that I give you. You've been unwrapped and set free to be an ambassador.
All right.
You've been unwrapped. Set free to be a witness. You've been unwrapped, set free to be a soldier. You've been unwrapped and set free to stand in the gap so that the very thing that Jesus did, you will do.
Yes. Say that, say that.
Oh, come on now.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yeah.
He didn't save you to set you on a shelf.
Say that.
Amen?
Amen.
No, that ain't what he needs. He does not need believers who have been redeemed, believers who have been blood bought, believers who have been saved. He doesn't need you sitting on a shelf. Collecting dust. Being admired by all who come by. Who pick you up and say, "Ooh, ain't you so cute?" And then put you back down. Now, he called you to be a force in this world.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can't be a force if you don't believe you were called to be a force.
That's right.
And you won't walk in the authority that he has given you if you don't believe you have authority. But he said he called you and set you free so that you can be an ambassador, so that you can be a soldier, so that you can be a witness, so that you can be a disciple, a committed follower of Jesus Christ who carries on the very work that he began. That is why he said, "You will do greater things than I have done." Time out for you and me settling for just the American dream.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody is pursuing the American dream. I need a full bank account. I need a car that is nice. And I need it full of gas. And I need, what is it now? I don't even know. It used to be 2 bedrooms, 2.5 bedroom, 3-car garage. That's what it used to be. I don't even know what it is anymore. But I do know that too many people are caught up pursuing material things when you have the kingdom of God available to you. He says, it's time out for you and me to stop pursuing just the things we see in the natural, but to understand that you have been redeemed to be a representative of God upon the earth, that you have been redeemed and unwrapped and set free to carry forth the power of the living God, that when you go, things are supposed to happen. Where you show up, things are supposed to happen. Wherever the enemy is at work, when you show up, he's supposed to get nervous. I know you've heard this said before, but one of the things that the devil should be quaking at is that when you, after you have a good night of rest, and you wake up and you put your feet on the floor,
say that.
He ought to be saying, "Ah!"
Say that.
Here you go again. Here she go again. Why? Because you and I have been called to walk in the authority of God. We've been called and given power to walk in the authority of God. And when we show up and the devil is wreaking havoc in people's lives, when we show up, things are supposed to happen.
Amen.
They're unwrapped and we've been set free so that the glory of God can be manifest in situations and lives. Things are supposed to change. Oh, can I tell you, it's got to start with you. If there's no change in you, you're not going to expect change in anybody else, right?
Uh-huh.
That's why you got to be able to say, who I was before, I'm not anymore.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because I've been changed. I didn't change me, but he changed me. Just hanging out with him changed me. And I know that if he can change me, he can change you. Because I know the kind of scoundrel I was. I know how I used to think. I know the weakness that I used to walk in. But because of him, I now walk in power. You and I have been unwrapped and set free to be his instrument. Used for his purposes so that other men and women will be set free. Amen?
Amen.
Many of you guys are familiar with the story of Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman was born into slavery. But for some reason, she never felt like she needed to be a slave. In fact, it is said that she had this one expression when she learned it's true. She said, "Give me liberty or give me death. I'm going to have one or the other." Saying that nothing will stop me short of death from being free. Harriet Tubman, as you know, found her freedom through the Underground Railroad, which was a network by which there were people who worked in concert together to bring a person who had been enslaved to bring them from slavery to freedom. And it was needed because there were pursuers of those who were enslaved who did not want them to experience their freedom. And so they would do all that they could to prevent that individual from pursuing freedom, like hunting them down with dogs. And then if they caught them, they would beat them mercifully with the hope that you would never try this again. And so in order for the enslaved person to experience freedom, they needed help along the way. So you had Quakers who were committed. They were followers of God who were committed to saying that, you know what, we don't believe that slavery is right, and we're going to use our resources to help others who have been enslaved be set free. And so they would set up these stations where those who were trying to pursue their freedom could go find refuge until they were able to continue their path to freedom. Well, Harriet made her way from slavery to freedom. But you also know that she was not only known for becoming a freed slave, she was also known for being a conductor on the Underground Railroad. Which meant that when she got her freedom, she said, I want other folks who are over here enslaved to experience the ability to be free. And so then Harriet, although she's free, risked her life. They say over 19, 20 times, going back, getting folks who wanted to be free.
Yes.
Through the day, by the way, it was dangerous. It was a dangerous each time, and it became even more dangerous when it became known what she was up to, that they started to look for her and hunt her down. It was even more dangerous when they started to pass laws that said that you cannot help or you cannot assist when they was trying to work against her. But you know what? It didn't stop her.
Yeah, that's good.
Because she was determined that the freedom that she was tasting, she wanted others to taste that same freedom. Oh, God, I wish you and I had the kind of attitude, the kind of courage, and the kind of spirit that Harriet had, the kind that says, I'm free. But I need somebody else who is locked in the clutches of the enemy to be free too. I need somebody else. I've been unwrapped and I've been set free. I need to go and get somebody else and help them be unwrapped and set free so that they can experience the power of God in their lives. And brothers and sisters, that's what God has called you and me to do, is to stop worrying so much about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
To start carrying out his mission according to you. Go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations. Go, go, go. Find somebody and tell them about the goodness of Jesus Christ. Go, go, go. When you find that one who is locked in the clutches of the devil, you have the answer. And his name is Jesus. And it is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that is able to break every chain, that is able to break the bondage, that is able to set men and women free and unwrap them so that they can be all that he has called them to be.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Therefore, I challenge you. Don't waste your freedom. Don't waste your freedom. Be about the business of your Father and your Savior. Carrying forth the good news with power and authority. Setting men and women free, unwrapping them so that they then can be functional in the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you today that even though Jesus went back into a dangerous situation when he went to call Lazarus from the dead, we thank you that that danger did not prevent him from carrying out your will. May that same spirit be upon us. That we won't be afraid of what the enemy can do. Because we will be of full confidence that you are with us. We pray today, God, for your anointing upon your people. We pray that, God, you will rain down fresh and new your power upon us. God, our words will not be empty. They will be filled with power. God, when we speak, Lord, that we will have the very authority of heaven backing us because we speak only what you tell us to speak. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ for your anointing today upon our minds. We will be set free to think your thoughts after you, to speak your words after you. God, there will be power that is manifest that brings about healing and wholeness, the lives of those who are wounded and broken. We pray today, God, for a fresh anointing of your spirit. Because we cannot do this in our strength, but we need your spirit to be at work. So we appeal to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Fill us fresh in you. Fill us fresh in you. In his name, amen.